I always, I'm okay. There, is that any better? Sorry, I guess I got to talk before you know if it works. There, is it working? Can you guys, you can all hear me all right? Okay. So what I love is all over the world right now, today, and I mean at varied times, right? But people are gathering together to worship Almighty God. And all over the world, there's this chorus of praise that goes up. And from different places, from little places to big places to everything in between. There's churches right now that are taking place under trees in Africa. There's churches that are taking places in little huts. There's churches that are taking places in cathedrals. There's churches that are taking places right now in bars. There's churches that are taking places on street corners or in parks. Like all over the place. But what's the common denominator? God. Isn't He cool? And that He really is calling a whole people to Himself from wherever. People that will walk with Him. We lost our kids. Did they go to class? Did the kids go out to Sunday school or something? Are they all still here? We got some. Okay. And I love kids. I love young people. Love young adults. Okay, so I love seniors too. I'm glad to have my mom and dad here. They're, Ralph and B, they're seniors. But I'm not. So what is so neat is how God operates and how He works. And have you ever had those times in your life where you just kind of you felt like, God, where are you right now? Like, why are you letting this happen? I mean, we prayed this morning for, that's incredible. Look, God, why are you letting this happen? And we can ask those questions. Or, God, where were you when this took place? Or why didn't you do something? I know I've asked that question in my own life. God, this doesn't make no sense to me. And I want to take us to a Bible story out of 1 Kings. And what I want us to understand or see, and you guys know this, and that's why I was so excited about talking to the kids this morning, because some of these stories, they may, you old timers, you've heard these stories a bazillion times, right? But it's the young people, it's fresh, alive, and oh, that's what the Bible teaches? That's really cool. So I always like talking to young people, because they always get this like big deer in the headlights look, that's a really cool story, and the old people go, yeah, I've heard that preached 100 times. Well, whatever. I love you guys. So, we need to understand something about God, and that is His character. And many of you know God's character in so many different ways. And one of the things I want to look at today is the fact that God really does care about what we go through. And especially those times that are the hardest, the most difficult, when we see things take place and we just shake our head and we say, this makes no sense. And we run into those constantly. This makes no sense. Or I don't like this. Or I wish this hadn't happened. And it can be from anything of other people's choices that they've made that affects us. I don't like this. They made a choice that's affecting me. To choices we make ourselves. Things that we choose to do that affect us that we look back, I wish I'd had never done that. To sometimes things that just happen. Why did that just happen? I don't know. Life just happens. And then we have to learn to deal with these things. So how do we deal with these things? How do we cope with these things? How do we walk with God through those times? It's like, for goodness sakes, good grief, like why? How do we walk with God through that? Well, this story out of 1 Kings 17, and this is the story of Elijah. And Elijah is told by God, Elijah's a prophet, and he's told by God to go to the king or the rulers and prophesy that because they've gotten so far from God, that God was going to send a drought. And we all know what droughts are, especially farmers like hate it when that happens. By the way, your crops are looking pretty good out there, aren't they? Yeah? There's probably not a farmer in this room. Is there a farmer in this room? All right. There we go. Yeah, it's looking all right, as long as, you know, and in the frost and that. Nobody has more faith than a farmer every stinking year, trusting God. Good grief. So, drought has a great effect. And so Elijah had to prophesy that there's going to be drought, there's going to be no rain, but he didn't say how long it was going to take. He just said it was going to happen. And then after he prophesied, the Bible said that God said to Elijah, said, now you need to get out of there and you need to run and hide. Why? Well, because they aren't going to like this. Now, it's one thing to prophesy, say, oh, thus saith the Lord God, this, that, and the other thing, and then stand there and smile. But it's another thing to say, thus saith the Lord, this, that, and the other thing, and then after 3 or 4 weeks, it's happening. So in other words, what you said is true, but we didn't like what you said, and now we're mad at you, and we're going to get even with you. Like, that's what happened back in this time. So God says, you got to go run and hide. So go to a place called the Kereth Ravine, or you know, the Kereth Brook, or whatever translation you use it. So God told Elijah to go and run and hide in this certain place. Okay, pretty standard. Get there, you need something to eat and something to drink. God says, tell you what, I'm going to provide water from the brook, and I'm going to provide food from the air. I'm going to send ravens to bring you bread and meat. Now think about it, and if you guys do your devotions like I do my devotions, I always like to use my imagination, because these things didn't just happen. There's things that took place for this to happen. And when I do my devotions, I always like to think, oh, so I wonder what it was like in that moment. Drought, dry, hot. So he would have been sitting there, probably under the shade of a tree, and it would have been a really hot, hot day, and it had been really, really dry, except he's got the brook in front of him, and he would have felt a little bit like, I wonder if those guys are still mad at me. He's out there all by himself. So there would have been some, you know, probably mosquitoes and flies flying around, and it wouldn't have been a really comfortable situation. But all of a sudden, when he gets hungry, these ravens come in, and they're carrying bologna sandwiches, bread and meat. Now, I sat and thought for a minute. I thought, where in the world did they get these bologna sandwiches from? Now, you got to know that they didn't know how long this drought was going to last, and it turns out it was about 3.5 years. That's a long time. So these ravens come in with these bologna sandwiches, drop them off. He's eating these sandwiches. Can you imagine what he's thinking? I wonder where they got these from. You see, I have a theory. I believe that just upstream from where he was camped, there was a provincial park. And there was this large picnic area. And the people from the city would come out into this Kereth Ravine area and they would picnic. And there's this family and they've got 3 little kids and they're out and they spread out their picnic baskets on the table with the tablecloths and they've got their juices and their drinks. And she opens a Tupperware container and there's these bologna sandwiches. And the kids are hungry, and these ravens swoop in and grab these bologna sandwiches and take them to Elijah. The Greek says nothing about that, or the Hebrew says nothing about that. But they had to come from someplace. And for years, 3.5 years is how long this drove. So I don't know how long he was at the creek, but every day, in the morning and at night. In the morning and at night, these sandwiches would come in and be dropped on his lap. There are so many miracles about that. Who picnics in the morning? Who picnics at night? So you got your young families first thing in the morning, and then you got your wild teenagers late at night. And everybody's losing their ham. Yeah, one day it's tuna fish. Another day it's ham and cheese. Well, I don't know, cheese. Well, maybe cheese. I don't know. It says bread and meat. So God continually worked a miracle in this man's life. Now, one of the things that's really cool about Elijah is Elijah learned how to trust the Lord. Excuse me. How do you learn how to trust the Lord? You learn because God keeps putting you in situations where you have to trust Him. And we all want to be like great men and women of faith, right? We all want to be, you know, oh, I trust God. We all want to be, you know, people of faith and power, not paste and flour. We want to be people that really trust the Lord. And the only way you get to that spot is by putting yourself in situations where you have to trust Him. Would you agree? Most of you do. So God allows us to be put in these situations where we have to trust him, and then he comes through, and then we go, oh, that was really cool. Okay, God, I'm going to trust. Can I tell you a story about one time in my life? What? Oh, thank you very much. That's what was happening. I remember a time when I had to really trust the Lord. So I work as a pastor, one of the pastors at St. Albert Alliance Church, but I only work there part-time. I have another job. I do handyman work in Edmonton and surrounding areas on the second half of the week because it gives me a chance to engage with people and you know, still be mixing it up in the community. And so one day I had my plan for the day. I was going to go work at this certain project. And as I'm walking through the garage of my house, getting ready to head out to my vehicle to head off to work, I felt like the Lord said to me, you got to bring your contact cement. And I'm like, what? Yeah, you got to take your contact cement today. I said, I don't need my contact cement. I'm not doing anything with contact cement. He says, no, take your contact cement. I said, I don't need my contact cement. He says, yes, you will. So I said, okay, fine, I'm going to take contact cement. So I grab my tub of contact. You guys know what contact cement is. Yeah, most of you, okay, it's like it's a glue. So I grabbed my contact cement, threw it in the back of my vehicle, jumped in my way I went. And on the way to my job site, I knew that I had to stop at another store to pick up some other supplies. So I walk into this other store, I walk up to the counter, and I say, I need you if you could maybe build me this and that. And I explain what I needed, and they say, oh, I don't know if we can do that. It's going to be really expensive, and it's going to take at least a couple weeks to pull that together. I said, oh, kind of need it today. You ever have that happen? Of course, you all have. I said, I need it today. He said, wow, you know, we don't have that. We have to build it. And I said, yeah, well, that's what I need. So he said, well, just a minute. And so he goes into the back. And as he goes into the back, the Lord says to me, look around. Oh, okay. So I look around, and there's this counter. And the edging is coming off the counter. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, that edging needs contact cement. Lord says, I want you to fix the counter for them. So I'm like, okay. So I go out, I grab my contact cement for the back, bring it in, pull the edging off, lay it out, start cleaning it up, getting it ready for contact cement. This guy comes back out to talk to me. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm fixing the edging on your counter. You're what? Why are you doing that? I said, interesting that you ask. I said, when I was on my way to work this morning, the Lord told me to bring contact cement. And I argued with him. I said, I don't need contact cement today. He said, yeah, you're going to need contact cement. I don't need contact cement. He says, yes, you will need contact cement. Take it. So I took it, and I show up, and I'm talking to you, and then you go out, and I come in, and the Lord says, look around. I see now why I needed the contact cement. And so he's kind of looking at me like, and then I walked up the counter, and I said, very interesting. You must mean a lot to God. What is it that you got going on with God that makes you so special that he wanted me to bring contact cement to fix your counter today? I said, man, God really must love you. He really cares about you. Did he get me to bring contact cement today for your countertop? So he's like, whoa. And he says, I'll be right back. So he disappears again. So I finished fixing the counter and put it all in place, and then I'm waiting for him to come back, let me know what's going to happen. And he comes back out. He says, come back in 20 minutes. We'll have what you need. Oh, okay. So I go to Tim Hortons to get my cup of coffee and sit in my vehicle and wait a few minutes, and I come back inside, and I walk up to the counter, and there's two of them, two of what I need. I said, I just need one. He says, there's two. He said, the second one's free. I go, oh. And then the owner of the company comes walking out and sits down, and he's just staring at me. He says, are you the guy with the contact cement? I go, yeah. Okay. And then that was it. Got my stuff and left. Folks, God works in weird and wonderful ways. Would you agree? And we need to learn how to hear what he's saying. And the way that we learn to hear how he's saying is by we put ourselves in situations where we have to trust him. And lots of times he wants to talk to us, but because it doesn't make any sense, we just kind of go, whatever. But you need to listen to that. Can I tell you another story? Is that all right? So I'm working at another job, and we've got to get this special security system put in on this door. and I hired a guy to come in, and he's working away at it, and he's frustrated. It's taken him a long time, and it's just not coming together the way he wants it to. And he's mad. He's up on the ladder, and he's like, this is taking hours, and he can't seem to get this thing. And his name was Bill. So I said, he's up on the ladder, and he's really frustrated. I says, Bill, we're going to have to talk to the Father about this. He goes, what? I said, you know, we got to talk to the Father about this. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, do you think he can figure this thing out? He should be able to. He goes, okay. So I just did a really simple, quick little prayer. God, Bill's frustrated. He needs this fixed. You know how to do it, so pray that you'll make it happen. And then I turned, and this was the part of faith for me. Then I turned, and I started walking away. And I said, Lord, here's your chance. You can either be a hero or a zero. What do you want to do? And I just prayed. I put myself on the spot. I walk away. And I don't know what God is going to do. I have no idea. But that's not my problem now. I did the prayer. Now it's up to him. And I walk away. I come back a while later. Bill's finishing up. I said, Bill, what happened? He said, you would not believe it. Within seconds after you left, everything came together. And now it's all done. I said, oh, Bill, that's wonderful. Guess what we got to do now? He goes, what? I said, we got to thank the Father. You see, when you pray for people and you see a miracle, you have to complete the cycle, which is thanking the Lord. If you're in a situation and somebody has something and you pray for them and there's a miracle that happened and you don't come back and say, we need to thank the Father. We need to give recognition to the miracle that God just did. If you don't do that, what do they call it? A coincidence. But when you pray for somebody, God does a miracle, circle comes right back around, and you thank the Father with them for what happened. It seals the miracle. This was a gift from God to you. There, enjoy. And so I want to encourage you, when God puts you in those situations and you go, like, that doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it doesn't. God doesn't make sense. And he does stuff all the time like that. You pray, you be obedient, you do whatever God asks you to do. And then when he comes through, then you say, Father, thank you for that. And you learn to walk with the Lord and you learn to trust the Lord. And this is what makes me so excited about young people, is because you can do that now. You learn these things and you say, God, I just want to walk with you. I just want to serve you for the rest of my life. Why? Because you're so cool. So anyway, back to the Bible story again. So here's Elijah. He's out on along the brook. Now, because of his prophecy that there's going to be a drought, then guess what happens to the brook? Right. The brook dries up. And the food stops. I don't know if everybody caught on to the ravens. Do not go to that picnic site because the ravens will come and steal your sandwiches. And the word got out and everybody stopped coming picnic. I don't know how, but somehow it stopped. In your walk with the Lord, there's times when you're going to see God coming through and coming through, and this is really cool. And then all of a sudden, it's like it stops. Like, God, did you forget? Like, God, what is happening? Of course, Elijah trusted the Lord. Why? Because he'd learned over the years, you can trust God. So then Elijah says, I want you to go into this area, and there's a widow there, and she's going to look after you. Now, that is so full of miracles and phenomenals of God. So he goes over there, and there's this widow, and this widow's she's gathering up stuff, and Elijah goes up and says, can you get me a drink of water in a jar? And she goes, I can do that. So she starts to turn and go to get a drink of water for this guy. And he says, oh, and by the way, when you go get that drink of water, would you mind bringing me something to eat? A sandwich, maybe. No, I'm tired of sandwiches. Let's make it pasta or whatever. So she says, she stops, she goes, wait a minute. She said, actually, I've got no food left. Now, put yourself in this widow's situation. She's a widow. She has a young son. And she's actually out gathering up sticks to make a fire to cook their last meal. And then she says, because then we're going to die. We have no more resources. We have no more food. We have nothing left. Now, there would have been a time in this lady's life when she had a husband. She has a son. And he died. She's a widow. So there was a time in this lady's life when she had security, she had love, She had support. She had somebody bringing an income in. She had everything looked after. And he dies, and she's left, and what she has is depleted and depleted and depleted and depleted until she's got the last meal that she's about to eat. Can you imagine how she's feeling right now? She'd just be feeling like, God, where are you? Don't you see me in this situation? Don't you care about what I'm doing? Don't you care what's happening to me? And she's gathering up the last stuff. And then this guy comes along and he wants the last little bit that I have. He wants it. Well, Elijah said to her, I'll tell you what. You make that meal that you're going to make, but feed me first. And then you're going to experience an incredible miracle of God. God will provide. And for some reason, she trusted him. And so you guys know the story. She goes back to her house. She takes the flour and puts it in a bowl and adds the oil and mixes it all up and then bakes it with the sticks that she got. She gets the food out. She gives it to him. He eats. And then she has a chance to eat. And the next morning she gets up and she's thinking, now what are we going to do? And she goes over and she looks, oh, there's a little bit of flour in there. Isn't that cool? So she pulls the flour up, puts it back in the bowl, looks in the jar and goes, there's oil. And picks up the oil. This famine went on for 3.5 years. She picks up the jar of oil and she dumps it in the and starts to mix it up and makes some more bread. And they all eat again. And the next day she goes, now how many days do you think she went back? And every day it was like, I wonder if God is going to come through. Have you ever wondered that? God, are you going to come through on this? And every day she saw a miracle. Every stinking day she saw a miracle. And he got looked after, and she got looked after, and then there's more to the story where her son dies, and he prays for her son, and he comes back to life. And just the miracles after miracles. Folks, what I want to say to you today is this: God cares about you. He cares about the situation. We asked, God, don't you see what's going on? Of course he sees what's going on. He sees and he cares. In fact, that word care means to care for someone, means that you anticipate the situation and you make plans for it. Okay, let me say it again. The word care, in fact, the word care and cherish are kind of come from the same original Greek word, but the word care means that you anticipate the situation, what's going to happen, and then you make plans for it. If a little boy has a puppy dog, gets a puppy for his birthday, what is the first thing he do? He starts to care for the little puppy dog. What's he doing? He's saying, oh, we need to get some food. What's he doing? He's anticipating the situation. This little puppy is going to get hungry, and we got to do something about it. We got to get some food for the puppy. Oh, we got to get some water. Oh, we need some play toys. To care for somebody means that you anticipate what's going to happen. The Bible says, husbands, care for your wives. What does that mean? That means us guys, we need to look at our wife and anticipate what's going to happen. And then we need to make proper arrangements to meet and be ready for that, whatever that looks like. And good luck trying to always get it right, right? The Bible says that God cares for you. Young people, the Bible says God cares for you. What does that mean? It means he sees what's going to happen in your life. He's anticipating it, and then he's making arrangements for it to take place. God cared for this widow woman, knew what was going to happen, sent Elijah in, anticipated, and then looked after her. God cares about you. He cares about you. He anticipates what's going to happen. And then he makes arrangements and plans. But he's saying, I want you to trust me. Now, this widow woman didn't have to trust. She could have said, forget it, had her last meal, and then died. But she didn't. She trusted this guy because he trusted the Lord. And, of course, then later on we see where she actually comes back and says, you really do hear from God, don't you? You see, here's the thing, and this is how we do it, and I'm going to finish this up. It's called the character of God. God does things, and in our strongest reasoning minds, we try and figure out what does God do and what is he doing and why is he doing it. And we try and reason in our mind why God does things. But the fact is, God doesn't stop here with our reasoning or our explanation or what we think should be or shouldn't be. He operates far above that. Would you agree? He operates in this realm up here that's the Bible says that his thoughts are wiser than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He operates in this whole thing that he sees that we don't see. And the distance between the best that we can come up with in our reasoning and where God really is at is called faith. And this is where our faith is needed. And so lots of times we don't trust necessarily with what God is doing. Why are you doing this? But we can trust his character. His character will never go wrong. His character is always the same. His character is that he does love us. His character is that he does care for us. And even though we can't figure out what's happening and why it's happening, we trust his character. And I love the songs you guys chose, because every one of those songs was about trusting God's character. Faith. It is well with my soul. Why? I can't figure all this out, but I'm trusting Almighty God. That's his character. And so we trust his character when we can't figure out necessarily what or why he's doing what he's doing. And we see in this story the trust and the faith, and the result of that was some incredible miracles, and people's faith increased. I want to encourage you that. Young people, I want to encourage you, walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Your whole life, just walk with God. Why? Because he's so cool, and he does incredible things. If you trust him, we trust him. Would you stand together, and we're going to close in prayer. First Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares for you. He sees your situation, he anticipates what's going to happen, and he makes plans for you. He really does care. Father, I thank you so much for this fantastic church family and every single person in this group. And those that aren't even here today. And later, I pray that over this next while, that as you reveal yourself, reveal your character in new and fresh ways, and especially for the young people, Lord, God, that they would see that you're real and you care and they can walk with you and trust you. Lord, that we would see those miracles take place. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. And it's true. He really does. Lord, I pray a blessing on each one. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.